1, 1, 2, 3. Hello and welcome to the People Powered Green Left Podcast, where we give a voice to the 99% and not the big corporations. If you think this project is important, please consider becoming a supporter today. Now, on to our latest episode.
Hi everybody, I'm Amanda. I'm reporting from Green Left. We acknowledge that this video is being filmed on stolen Aboriginal land. We express solidarity with the ongoing struggles for justice for the First Nations people and pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging. I'm here with Nachshon Amir, an anti-Zionist Jewish activist and former Israeli Defence Forces officer. He's an active member of Free Palestine Melbourne as well as Refugee Action Collective. Today we will be discussing Nachshon's personal experiences and perspectives on Zionism, indoctrination in Israel and the Free Palestine movement in Australia today. Thanks for joining us today, Nachshon.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us about your childhood and growing up. What was your experience of Zionist indoctrination?
Okay, so I was born in Israel, as you know, as you mentioned. And I was raised like every child in Israel into the Zionism. When I explain it to you, I have to rethink about it because for me it's very natural and it's natural in Israel. You grew up with a notion that this is our country, belongs to the Jewish people, and there are other people here around that we call them Arab, not even Palestinians, and they don't like us. They hate us and they want to throw us to the sea or things like this. And yeah, we have to defend ourselves from them. That's in general. And we don't talk too much on them. We used not to talk too much on them because we didn't even feel it. It was not a big issue in my childhood in the 70s because they didn't resist by then. And there's nothing. We did our own life with it and without thinking about it. But this perception of things is what you learn since you are a child, and that's how we never meet them actually, because they live in their own villages or towns. We hardly meet them. They used to be the hard workers in the buildings, for example, workers that came from Gaza or from the West Bank to work, and that was the interaction with them. Like, I don't want to say like slaves, but they were like foreign workers and like low level people, and you never get to talk to them or to know them. So this is a normalization of a distorted reality. So in Israel, there was no mixture. So there's Arab villages and Jewish villages, there are Arab school and Jewish school. You never learn in school about the basic democratic values like equality or human rights. It's not something that mentioned. And so you never get the option to doubt what you know, because that's all you know. You never I'll get back later on to how I became to my what I am today. But I ask myself, why didn't I see it in my childhood, or no one see it in childhood? Because you know nothing about this. You can't, this is the reality you get. It's just like grew up in the 1800 in the US, in the South, and for you it's normal that there are people, black people, that they are slaves. Yeah. It's not, you don't see it because if you're a baby and you're a child and you see it, that's what you know. So that's the way Zionism was introduced to us. And that's how I grew up.
How was the Zionist indoctrination reflected in your conduct?
So when you grow up this way, and there was still, I remember, like threat from the countries around us. So yes. Egypt was more powerful than today. And the Syrian army was strong, and they all supported the Palestinian cause because they're all Arabs. So there was always this threat of our existence. And the army is a very important thing in Israel because of that. So you grow up, so that's what one thing of, that the Zionism made us to be. We admired the soldier, the army. We all have to go to the army, but we not just have to go, but we're very proud to go to the army. So that's one thing that the Zionism led us to. And we admire mainly the combatants and the officers, and the more extreme warrior you are more admired. This is Israel. I'll go to one more thing about Zionism. Zionism, even today, not in English, but in Hebrew, it sounds to me, the sounds of it is like an ideal thing, like I'd say charity or similar to this. To be Zionist is to do good things. Yeah. So I remember in my childhood talking about Judaizing the Galilee. So it's north part of Israel. You have to Judaize the Galilee. It's a beautiful thing to Judaize. If you think about it today, what is it? You must just put more Jews and less Palestinians, and same to the Negev, it's the south part of Israel. So for me, it was an ideal thing. And we learned to travel the country and learn the Israeli country. So it was a valuable thing to do. So during schools or in the holidays, we will go and having trips everywhere. I knew the map of Israel. Now today, like my hand, all the rivers, all the mountains, I know it by heart. So that's another thing, to be connected to your country. I'm going back to the army thing. So that's how I grew up. I grew up and I knew in very young age that I'm going to be, I'll try to be an officer in the army and to lead it. And so all this Zionist indoctrination background led us to inflict to our life in this way. Few more things. The whole conversation in Israel is, or the whole perception of Israel as a state is Jewish. So the flag is a Jewish symbol. The anthem is a Jewish, it's all about Jews that long to this country and came back after 1,000 years. What about 20% of the population, citizens of the country that are not Jewish? It doesn't talk to them. And it's not that it doesn't talk to them. In the name of these symbols, we expelled their families and kicked them out from this land in a horribly violent way. How are they supposed to refer to this flag or to this anthem? No, we didn't care. We didn't think about it. It didn't come to our minds. So that is the way we ignore the other part of the population. And that led me to serve the army, which I guess we'll talk about it later in this way.
Can you tell me about the time you served as an IDF officer?
So I was in the army from 1985 to 1990, so 5 years, because I was an officer combating the tanks. And in the middle of that's when the first Intifada started. So I served in Lebanon, in the Golan Heights, all around. And I served during Intifada in the Gaza Strip, in the West Bank, in all these cities that you sometimes hear their name, like Ramallah, Tul Karlem, Jenin, Hebron, Nablus, and all other villages. So we just got to police the population there. So just remember, this is not Israel officially, but there was already a lot of settlements there. So the plan was to take over this land to be Israel. I didn't think about this way. I thought about it this way because I came from a very right-wing family. So I thought one day this will be our state, because again, we didn't learn about democracy and international law. So I thought, well, this should be our land. Why not? And we should be here and do our job. So day to day practices was, so the goal of being us is to protect us from their intifada, their rising up. But the day-to-day practices was really humiliating, really oppressing. So we could, I'll give you some examples. We could go to a house in a strategic point in the village and take over the house. This will be our military base for the next 2 months. You go out, your family, this family, it's your house. We don't care. So we sat there for 2 months in this place. One part of my unit. You don't do it in Melbourne or in Israel. You can't take people's house because you want it. I was able as an officer, a young officer, 21 years old, to stop cars in the middle of every village that I've gone through. So it could be a village that no settler, Jewish settler going through. But I decided to stop the cars here and one by one check them and detain or stop people from going to their day-to-day work. So it could be a teacher. He's now driving to the school. Now, you stay here for 2 hours now. Or I could give him a mission. You see this Palestinian flag up there? Go get it down. Or do you see this stone that yesterday you put to annoy us or to stop us? Because it was not a violent uprising. They had no weapons by then, only stones. And they littered tires. That was the resistance. So we made them move it or clean it. And the whole aim was just to annoy them and to keep them on their knees and to oppress them. So they won't think about high resistance. I would go in the middle of the night with my soldier. I would go around the village and I decided all this graffiti on this wall. I didn't understand what's written there, but yeah, we have to clean it. They have to clean it. We got knock the door in the middle of the night, just common family. It's frightening enough when in 2 o'clock in the night, someone knocking roughly on your door, got in, you go get some paint and the wife would be shaking and even yelling. So I would tell her, shut up, like in a very rude way. And the child could be terrified. I don't care. I mean, it is what it is. That's what you have to do. Well, think about this child later on. Time after time, you get this reality, and then he sees cousin incarcerated, or he will be angry. In one day, he'll go in Tel Aviv and explode himself. That's how we planted the seeds of the next resistance. Yeah, that's the day-to-day reality, and the whole goal of it was to keep them down. And are you asking me what I thought about, what I felt about it? So I didn't enjoy it. So I think if I remember today properly, I thought, well, it's not nice to do it, but we have to do it because all these people here are either terrorists or they're going to be terrorists. They're all against us. They all hate us. And that was the way I explain myself, why am I doing it? Because that, again, on the background of how I grew up, I couldn't think in a different way.
Tell us about your shift in perception. What has led you to become an activist for the Palestine movement today?
Yes, so this is a long, very long journey that I gone through. It didn't happen in one day, not in 1 year. So it took me very long time to get to what I am today. And it's not in something that I was aware of in every stage of it. So I think if I try to recall and put my finger on some stage and think of what was going through my mind. So I think it started after the army when I thought about the West Bank mainly. This is not going to be our land, our country. It's not going to be really Israel because we can't do it. Too many Arabs here, too many Palestinians. And I thought it's very rough and it's not going to happen and it's messy and why should I think about it? I disconnected myself from every involvement, even in thinking in politics. I said to myself, I know it's very selfish and from my activism today, I can't understand how could I just put it aside and ignore it rather than search into it and see who's right, who's wrong and what's good to be done. But at that stage, I said to myself, I'm not going to be involved in it. I'm not going to think about it. I'm going to think about myself, my family, my friends. I'm going to enjoy my life. And I didn't read newspaper anymore. I didn't watch TV. I was out of it I didn't vote at the election because in Israel it's not compulsory. So I think for 12 years I can't remember the second intifada, mind you, the war on Lebanon in 2006, all the politics with prime ministers in Israel. It's all like a dark period for me. Only when we came to Australia in 2009, and I started. So my daughters went to school with Hindus and Christians and Muslims. So I thought, well, this is normal. And why in Israel there's Jewish school and Arab school? Why is it this way? And then I thought, all right, and there's Jewish village in Israel, an Arab village. There's no mixture. There's so mixed town, but even there, it's a different, not suburbs, but neighborhood. There's no mixture. This is normal, what's happening here. So I thought, well, in Brunswick, it's impossible that people will say, this is a Christian neighborhood. There's no place for Jewish or for Muslims here. So I started to learn that this is normal and what's happening in Israel, it's not normal. Whereas when you grow up into it, you don't see it this way. And I think that's what started the shift. By then I didn't change my politics. I didn't got into politics. For 5 years we've been here. I didn't read papers, even in Australia, not about Israel, nothing. But I think my values or my perception of life or normal life has changed. We went back to Israel in 2014 for some reasons. And I got into activism, not for the Palestinians, but for other thing, which is, it was the refugees and asylum seekers there. So by that time, there was tens of thousands of refugees that came from Africa, mainly from Eritrea and from Darfur in Sudan. The Sudanese escaped from a real genocide and the Eritrean escaped from horrible dictatorship. They call it North Korea of Africa. I don't want to elaborate, but both people run for their life from their own Holocaust, I should say. And they were in Israel and I saw African people in Israel. I didn't know what's going on because I remind you, I wasn't involved in anything. News and politics. In a nutshell, I got into it and I learned into it and I thought how, and Israel didn't want them. Israel said, no, you go back to Africa. And they tried to find new other countries for them in Africa, as if they're all Africans. They put them in Uganda. And I got into activism in the refugees movement. And I learned, and by the way, it's all the same point of Zionism, because this is the Jewish state. So although you've gone through your own Holocaust, we can't help you. Go back. And I was shocked by these policies where we escaped from our own Holocaust. And we expect the world to get us in other countries, but we cannot accept people that escape from their own Holocaust. Where's our humanity? And I got into this, and this is the time that I started to be activist and learn, all right, you have to act in this world to help the vulnerable people. And by then I started to get into the Palestinian matter, and I learned a lot. I educated myself. I watched a lot of lectures and read a lot from historians, from really historians that show the real history, not the propaganda history of or the myth of the Zionism. And I learned the truth, and I learned that that's Zionism, and that's what happened with Palestine. And then I joined the Palestinian cause.
Can you talk about Free Palestine Melbourne and the work that you do?
Yeah, so I joined Free Palestine Melbourne about 4 years ago. And Free Palestine Melbourne is a grassroots movement in Melbourne, as it's in his name, mainly for Victorians. And with support of the Palestinian struggle for rights and justice and freedom. Our goal is to raise or to build an anti-apartheid movement, because we think that that's how the change will come. Like in South Africa, it will always be only from outside powers that press Israel to change its policies and dismantle this regime. This organization builds on people, every sort of people in Melbourne. So there's Hindis and there's Jewish, there's Islamic people that are not Palestinian, that are Palestinian, that are Christians, that are even Israelis. Again, we are a democratic group. We are not attempting to represent the Palestinian community or to talk in their behalf. And we have no leaders. We are full democracy. We get our decision together. The way we are trying to build this movement is by raising awareness for the reality, because, you know, the main public in Australia, they are quite ignorant, and I don't blame them. It's far away from here. And the truth what they know about the reality in Palestine is from the media here. So ABC or Channel 9 or Channel 7 or the newspaper. And we all know they're biased for Israel. So we're trying to educate the public, which in many times they don't even care, which, again, I'm not blaming them. We do it through a lot different ways, or we're trying to find the new ways, if you can offer us. We are doing, for example, film screening. So we try to gather people and show them documents about Palestine history or the reality today. We had here this year Francesca Albanese, as we all know. We took part of the organizing of her tour here and the talks and the forums. We had Miko Peled, which is Israeli, like me in the US, much more prominent and much more time in the BDS mainly. So we had a full hall for him to talk and to educate the people. We had a Nakba exhibition, which I'm proud to say that was my idea. But not my execution. So we ended up putting it in St. Paul's Cathedral. Again, the idea was like we have Holocaust Museum in every city in this world, which is good to learn the history, and people are getting into this museum and get outside amazed or shocked by the reality of the Second World War against the Jews. I thought it's a good idea to have a Nakba exhibition or Nakba museum, if I could, but I can't. So the people can get in and get out and say, all right, that's what happened. This is horrible. And now we understand what's going on in Gaza or in the West Bank, and why are there terrorists. because otherwise there's no context to what the Palestinian struggle and rising. So we ended up doing it in St. Paul's, and so that's our day-to-day activity. And we are hoping to get more and more people into our movement by this way.
There's arguments out there that as a former IDF soldier, you have no business being part of the Palestine Solidarity Movement, given that you played a role in actively oppressing Palestinians. How would you respond to these criticisms?
Well, yeah, so the accusation, so the criticism of Free Palestine Melbourne, I don't think it's personal against me. And I think it's fair enough to feel this way in some part of the Palestinian community. I'm not sure about their reasons, but I can understand honestly that a Palestinian person will be offended by my presence because I was part of this regime that oppressed them, and I can understand. I didn't meet anyone like this yet. Most Palestinians, I have the feeling that these people are coming, or this way of thinking is coming from the Palestinian that are born and raised in Australia mainly, because all the Palestinians that I meet that have gone through or have direct connection to the Nakba or to expelling from Palestine, or even people from the West Bank today, or even from Gaza, they all hug me when they see me, and they get very emotional, and they appreciate my efforts to join their struggle. So this is the origin of this. I think I'm talking in behalf of Free Palestine Melbourne at the moment, because again, it's against Free Palestine Melbourne. I think it is The power of my talks is not because I'm clever or wise, it's because where I come from. It is because of my past. So if I say, I'm sorry that this is a situation, if I say X, Y, Z about their reality in Palestine, exactly as a Palestinian say so, people in Australia sadly believe me and don't believe the Palestinian. So if I'm standing up and say, well, this is what I did, this is apartheid, it opens people's eyes. And I know it from even journalists that interview me. She said to me, well, the interview you gave, people came back to us and said, well, it opens our eyes. So that's the power of my part in Free Palestine Melbourne. And it's for Free Palestine Melbourne to decide whether they want to use to use my services or my help, and if it helped the struggle against the apartheid regime or not. Again, we're not, but Free Palestine Melbourne is not attempting to represent, as I said before, the Palestinian community. And we happy to consult with them, and we have Palestinians members, very prominent Palestinian members in Free Palestine Melbourne, and we always talk about what we should do and is it appropriate or not. So I think I can help. It's for Free Palestine Melbourne to decide if with what platform to give me to stand on.
In your working career in the IDF, had you killed any Palestinians in active combat?
No, I didn't. As I said, my time in the IDF was in the First Intifada, so it wasn't that. I mean, people killed Palestinians by this time, not me. There was more special forces, but I didn't. I even remember myself telling my soldier, "Don't use more force than you need." When we are arresting someone, and not that I didn't see people doing it, and not that I'm claiming that I think I didn't. But and again, it's not to explain anything of what I did, because the whole frame of work was unnecessary. We shouldn't be there at all by the time. But I didn't kill anyone, to answer your question.
Explain in your own words your perception of the essence of the reality of Palestine-Israel. What is the role of the Zionist ideology in this reality?
Zionism, from its very beginning, is a racist ideology. It's the perception or the idea of having a Jewish state in Palestine. And that was an answer by the Jews that were persecuted in Europe for their own safety. They were seeking for a safe haven, which is it's fair enough. They have to have safe haven. By the way, most of the Jews at the time were not Zionists. Even when they escaped from Europe, they went to the US, they went to England, to Britain, to France, even to Australia. But part of them wanted to form a Jewish state. And they thought about many ideas, by the way. They thought about Argentina, about Uganda, they thought about even the Kimberley in Australia. But naturally they wanted to, they decided to go to Palestine, because historically, and that's again true, there were Jewish people there thousands of years ago. But they didn't want to come and merge with the local population. They wanted to have their own state, their own Jewish state. And in order to have that, so have them doing it, if they would go to the Kimberleys, or no, Kimberleys, that's not a good example. If they would go to Antarctica, it was still a racist idea, but not in the expense of anyone else. But one, if you come to a populated country with indigenous people and you want to have a Jewish state, it will end up in ethnic cleansing. And that's what happened. And I'm going back to the first days, because that's where the language by the time. So they talked about to Judaize this place. What's Judaizing? They talk about, I'm trying to translate from Hebrew to English, the way they talk, to salvage the land, as if it's their land, but it's occupied by others unjustly. And so that was the language of all the Zionist leaders from beginning. And later on in the 30s, they started to talk about transfer. So they said, all the leaders said, we'll have, if we want a Jewish state, we'll have to transfer these people from here. And they couldn't do it under the Ottoman Empire, and then later on under the British Empire. Although the British supported them and armed them and trained them, and they crushed any Palestinian resistance by the time. But this is under the British Empire. But once the British left the country, they executed their plans, and they expelled most of the population in very violent way, with massacres and rapes. And most of the population of Palestine were gone out of Palestine because of that. And this is the execution of the Zionist ideology. You couldn't build, I mean, if they didn't do that, the new state of Israel were not Jewish, because there were more Palestinian there than the Jews. So they had to do it. And it hadn't finished since, because the Zionist ideology is as much as possible land in between the river and the sea, with as less Palestinians as possible. And it's still going today. So in 1967, they took control on the rest of the land, which is the West Bank and Gaza, and started to settle there. So it's a one line from the first of the Zionism up to what's happening now in Gaza. So in the Nakba of 1948, they, except for expelling 750,000 Palestinians, which is more than the Jews that were in Palestine at the time, they ruined more than 400 villages to dust, like similar to what they do now in Gaza. So they will not have homes or villages to come back. So this ethnic cleansing is going on and on and on till today. And this is Zionism. So when you ask me, why am I an anti-Zionist? Because you have to be anti-Zionist to dismantle the regime of Israel and to gain justice and rights and freedom for the Palestinians. You can't do both. You can be Zionist and have justice.
What is the state of the Israeli public opinion today? Do you have any hope for the Israeli peace movement?
Well, the vast majority of the Jewish citizens of Israel, and it's not just today, was always, they are Zionists. So there's a rainbow of political views. So there's the ultra-right and the left Zionists, but they're all Zionists and they're all supporting the Jewish supremacy. You can't get justice with Zionism, as I explained a minute ago. So even the left side of it, they are more generous, they are more humane. So they are happy to give some crumbs to the Palestinians. It's just like I took your house, all the levels, and I'm now happy to give you the basement and a little kitchen. No, that's not justice. So even them, even if we go with their plans, it wouldn't go, it wouldn't work, because the Palestinians will not accept it. We have to have, if we want to have full rights and equality to all the people between the river and the sea, so even the left-wing plans or ideas in Israel is not acceptable, let alone all the others. And it's, again, the Zionists within the Jewish citizens of Israel is 99.9%. So I don't have hope that it will change. It will not change because supreme group will never in the history they gave up their advantages or privileges that they got from their supremacy. Why would they? Why would they need a lot of Arabs here with equal right? So the only way, that's what I said before about Free Palestine Melbourne, and I think if people, even there are people like me in Israel, there are thousands like them, like my daughter, but they're a tiny minority, and they know that they will not convince anyone, or they convince few, but the change would come from outside pressure, like in South Africa. If you ask me about hope, my hope is not from changing from within Israel. It's from the world to grow a spine and to go for justice and support the Palestinian cause.
That sounds like a good place to finish. Thanks for your time, Nakshon. And thank you, the audience at home, for supporting us, for joining us today. Green Left is committed to building this campaign and showing our solidarity to the people of Gaza, the people of West Bank, and to all the Palestinians around the world. There are rallies happening in every major city. The Sunday rally here in Melbourne is ongoing, midday at the State Library. If you're not able to go to those, there are smaller rallies happening and springing up every day in local communities. And if there isn't any, you can organize yourself and start one. If you like the work we do here at Green Left, please become a supporter. It's the best way to stay up to date with our content and also support the work that we do. There's a link in the description below. And without spending any money, if you can't subscribe, you can share this content to your social media, to your friends and to your family, and to help get the word out.
I hope you got a lot out of this episode. To continue producing shows like this, we need your support. Consider becoming a supporter for $5 a month, sharing this show on social media, and submitting your own stories. You can do all this at our website, greenleft.org.au.